This is the Kids Health Network, the health and psychology podcast for parents and carers of children.
The Kids Health Network is brought to you by GP and my daddy, Dr. Andrew Leach. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Today we continue our chat with Po Gan, registered developmental psychologist. And as we discovered last episode, mother of two young children, 4 and 6. And yes, we all know parenting is such a juggling act, and Po's done really well with it. I feel very lucky to be able to have her here to talk to us, given how busy she is. Po works at Blossom Care Psychology in Western Australia. Thanks for joining me again, Po.
Thank you, Andrew. That's cool.
That's okay. And I thought we should continue some of the things we were talking about last time, because they were really interesting, and maybe expanding on them a little bit to help parents even further in their journey with this very unique experience that we're all going through. So I guess we're now sort of delving a little bit more into the home environment, and we talked a little bit about strategies for managing different feelings and emotions at home. I think maybe also be interesting to hear a bit more about structure. So I'm hearing a lot about routine, and routine being very important for kids when they lose a bit of what's, you know, their normal activities day to day. So what would you say is a good structure for families at home? How can they support themselves to make this easier for themselves?
So I think routine and structures are good for young kids and for anyone, really. Because when we're in the lockdown, we might think that, like, we'll just go with the flow a little bit more. But actually, some sort of routine actually helps us to anchor ourselves, to know what to expect, and to help us to get out of the bed and to have some normality in our day. And it's actually, you can engage your kids to come up with the routine together, to agree on certain things that you would like to do together, and what are some of the, you know, learning times, and what are some of the downtime, and it's actually helped the kids to prepare themselves and set certain expectations. And I find that, like, perhaps for that, and a lot of the kids actually thrive when they know what to expect, and there is a certain sense of predictability. So sometimes for young kids, it might not be, you know, written down, but it can be drawn on a whiteboard, and to tell them exactly, you know, what are the things that we're going to do now. And it can be less structured than a school timetable, but it's more for home environment.
What would you say to parents who are really a bit overwhelmed by the idea of having homeschooling and completing tasks through the day? How would you approach that?
For the homeschool, I think it will be good to do some of the learnings early in the morning. Perhaps that's where, you know, like, having that routine and structure is really helpful to set the expectation for the kids. For myself, with my 6-year-old, I do learning time like 9 to 10 o'clock. And then after that, there's regular breaks in between. But, you know, like, it's not hard and fast rules. There are times where, you know, we can actually adjust and, you know, cut some slack as well. It's not hard and fast. But, you know, it's just certain set of, you know, regular times that we are doing some brain time, some learning time, and that helps to set the expectation. And for the older kids in the primary school age, or, you know, high school kids, perhaps they, for high school students, they probably can follow the timetable that are set up by the school. I think different school works out different homeschool or learning from home timetable a bit differently. So it really depends on the school, what I'm hearing from the parents.
And I think parents, are starting to appreciate now that most of the time we aren't teachers.
Yeah.
Some parents are teachers and they probably have a double stress because they have to look after their own students as well as their own children.
That's right.
But the parents, those of us who aren't teachers, we can just do our best. We just have to do our best and teach through methods that might be a bit more unique, and that could be getting creative with teaching. That might be including the kids in some of the activities you would normally do, such as cooking, cleaning, gardening, you know, get the kids to help out and make that a learning experience in itself. Some of those life skills that kids would not otherwise have at school. And then breaking that up, as you said, with some of the learning through the day, keeping it in small, I find small chunks work better than long, definitely. Extended. For the young kids particularly. And letting the teacher know, you know, if things aren't going as well as you thought, communicating with the teacher, and I'm sure they're expecting that kind of contact if things are difficult. Try not to feel overwhelmed, because all you can do is your best and have a go. And you know, this is a period that kids will learn from in different ways rather than the structure of school.
Yeah, I actually heard that kids in the summer holidays actually improve more with their vocab and with their learning skills, and they actually learn quite differently during holidays. And it's actually okay to have those spurts, and it's actually okay to relax. And when they are relaxed, and they actually learn more. I think you are right. And, you know, like to talk to the teachers about your individual family circumstances. And some of the parents are still working at the same time. So it can be hard to follow the 9 to 3 o'clock, timetable for school. You just have to adjust. And, you know, usually when they are at school, they probably have a lot of downtime as well, some playtime. Some time where they are having face-to-face time or one-on-one time with the teachers. Sometimes it's group time. So when it all boils down, the actual learning perhaps is just 2 hours or 3 hours, depending on the kid's age. So we really, if the parents are finding it difficult to follow the 9 to 3 o'clock timetable at school, you don't have to. It is just some help from the school to help to structure the day. But you can absolutely do just, you know, 1 or 2 hours of work, just focusing on literacy and numeracy, and some area of knowledge that is based on the kids' interest. I think, like, you know, you just have to dial down the expectation a little bit so that we can be relaxed and we can be enjoying each other's company as well, rather than trying to frantically, you know, follow through the whole timetable if it is really a struggle for your family.
I completely agree. In episodes gone by with this podcast, I've often talked about technology and some of the benefits of technology, and also the harms of technology, and balancing that out.
Yeah.
I think this is more, and just to touch on that, I think it's more of a period now that it is okay to have technology around and to use it to your advantage and not feel guilty about using things like the iPad for online learning. And also that we sort of expect, I think, children to have a bit more exposure to screen time during this period. There's also slightly older kids that are communicating with their friends through
online various gaming. Apps,
online gaming, and online communication portals.
And
I actually think this is a really healthy thing for children to be able to do.
It is. I agree. I think that they. I think we can. You know, there are times where we can join in with their online time, online screen time, and it's actually a nice thing for like as a family, we explore together certain screen time and certain online activities, certain documentary that we watch together. It's actually a really nice bonding time as well. So it need not to be a guilty thing that we feel that like, oh, they are having a lot of screen time. We are not damaging them by having some screen time for them and during this lockdown, because there are a lot of things that they're being taken away from. They can't really do what they normally do. So having that adjustment and to help them to learn other things is actually okay.
Yes, and I guess the security side, just being mindful of that as well, and monitoring who your children are talking to, still just as normal, just as we normally suggest. And there's various ways of doing that, but that's a story topic for another day.
Yes.
I was going to further expand on moving forward. Some states are relaxing some of the restrictions. But, you know, I think this is just going to be an ebbing and flowing kind of experience throughout the year of relaxing and restricting and, you know, trying to modify things according to what the coronavirus is doing around the country.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to keep an open mind to what might happen next and not have any kind of expectation of where this is going to head next, because it's very unpredictable. Yeah. But in terms of things getting easier for us, which children do you think are most likely to be challenged or affected as we move forward and come out of this whole isolation period?
I've been thinking that like lots of children are going to respond quite differently to the relaxing of the restrictions and going back to school, and some children probably will be really looking forward to, you know, go back to school and meet their friends and teachers. And some of them maybe will still continue to feel quite anxious about going back to school, especially kids with pre-existing anxiety or other mental health conditions like obsessive compulsive disorder, or children with special needs, or children with chronic health conditions like allergies and asthma or other conditions. I'm thinking about some of the kids that I've been working with. Some of them may have trouble with the screen time, and going back to going back to school and going back to the structure again, they might need more time and more planning around like going back to school again and adjusting to this new normal.
And being a bit more patient with those kids as they adjust to a different routine again. Is there a technique you've been using or suggesting to families, or is there anything you've read that is useful in this area in terms of returning to normal, returning to school, you know, children with anxiety who are now starting to display signs of anxiety? What can we do for these children as they kind of have to go back to a normal life again as we move forward?
I think a lot of ongoing communication and discussion with the kids, and to understand and acknowledge their feelings as well, just what we normally do with reflecting their feelings and understanding their perspectives, get them talking. And I guess as parents, we can emphasize on some of the positive of going back to the normal, and at the same time not downplaying some of the concerns that they have, and come up with a plan, problem solve what are the worries that they have, and help them to manage and think of strategies together about what can they do to manage that. That might be helpful. And again, you know, like if they are really stressed by it, and you just have to instill some calmness in them and to help them to bring up some of the coping strategies that they are using, or help them to seek more opportunities to learn from together or with healthcare professionals to work through these plan together.
Mm. Mm. When would you like parents to bring their children to a psychologist? Are these the sorts of areas that you think psychology is really useful or beneficial to children?
Yeah.
Is there a wider range than that? You know, what sort of issues do you normally see presenting to you related to anxiety and things like that?
So they can, you know, work with a psychologist to work through the anxiety, and the psychologist will also help the parents to manage that, you know, and support the planning side of things. It can be gradual exposure, going back to school and having a timetable that will help the kids to feel comfortable going back and to schedule in some of the to schedule in some of the rewards and also to bring to teach them, you know, coping strategies that are helpful for them to ground themselves when they are feeling anxious. So all of these are the things that we can work with a family together with the kids and the parents to get through these period of uncertainty, but still it's still some of the calmness learning and wisdom, I guess, to get through this together, so that you don't. Sometimes it's just like a sounding board, and to try some different strategies that perhaps you have not think about before, and we can work through it together.
Mm. Mm. You mentioned a really important word there, and that's calmness. Mm. And we probably said this in the last episode that above all, remaining calm in yourself. And, you know, you probably do have different feelings going through yourself every day around this and what might be coming, but showing a level of calmness to your children that, you know, helps them as a model, really, just to model that sort of feeling of calmness. And if it's not happening, it's really too difficult. Yeah. That's when you yourself as a parent should engage with someone, and that might be a GP first and a psychologist
that's
second,
right. Yeah,
to help work out, well, how can I learn this skill of being calm? And I it sort of made me remember that this is it's sort of like trying to bring yourself to that present moment, that you live in what's going on now. That's a really useful tip when you're not feeling calm. Like we don't know where things are going to go next, and we can't afford to worry about that, really. We it's too much to think about what's next. And so do your best with what you have now, and know that, you know, things will improve, but we don't have a crystal ball to know when they will get much easier. So I don't know if that's a strategy you use, but that sort of mindfulness strategy of here and now, present moment, definitely. This is where we are, and focus on today and focus on what you're doing, and think about tomorrow when it comes.
And very often our thinking mind is like a monkey mind that, you know, keep thinking about the past, keep thinking about the future. And really, you know, if we can anchor ourselves in the here and now, and this is important for us to move forward and be present for our kids. And that's what they need. They need a person that is calm and present at this time. Because what is more important, I think, like the academic and stuff, the learning can come later. But what they need is calmness, and what they need now is connection with parents, and that's where they feel safe, that's where they feel secure, and that's where they can bounce back and be resilient. And I think, you know, we have to set our priorities and to focus more on the mental health, the physical health, and the rest can come. I think the learning can always come, and I heard lots of teachers assuring the parents that it's okay. You know, that's what they are trained to do. They will help the kids to pick up where they are and adjust their learning based on, you know, where the students' level are. And that's what they are good at. But as parents, we just need to focus on keeping our kids safe and feeling secure, and know that we are behind their back, enjoying each other's company and create those bonding and connection during these unprecedented times, I think.
And I totally understand that there are some families that are really struggling at this at the moment in this isolation period, and it's having a big effect on them and their interpersonal relationships with each other. And I think it can be a real storm. It can be a real stormy cloud for people. And it's not always easy to just sort of come back to those ideals. So I wanted to finish with talking about some positive strategies for overcoming fear and anxiety. And that might be simple tips. I know when I feel I've lost control of that calmness, stepping away is a really helpful tip. Rather than letting it escalate in the moment. So that might be just going for a walk, going for a bike ride, stepping outside into the garden, doing some cooking, doing something different to try and distract your own mind to sort of start again and reset things. What sort of practical tips do you have that you have offered families that might be helpful for overcoming stress?
I think there are two parts. One of them is the preventative strategies to help us to, keep the calmness, bits by bit during the day, and to have that physical movement breaks and things like that that will help to organize our to meet our needs. And also the reactive times where, things are escalating and then you need to, and step back and do something different, and maybe you wanted to, reach out and talk to your friends and to have someone just, listen to you, and that is okay as well. And during the day, if we can, through, bits and pieces of, practicing belly breath or, to do some dance and movement and to watch movies together, to have cuddles, and to have lots of praise when they are doing well. And those are the things that are going to keep those calmness. And sometimes we talk about an emotional thermometer where we label our feelings in different colors, with different colors or different numbers, like 1 to 10. Something like that will help the to bring to notice how we are feeling, to keep in check with our feelings, and then to do things when you notice yourself, like, getting to orange now and we need to do something to calm ourselves down. And that's where, some of those strategies to maintain, to bring calmness back into our self again. And that's really helpful to anchor. I think always check in with yourself and always think about, you yourself as like a dear friend, almost like if you imagine someone else, if your dear friend is going through hard time, and how would you comfort them? How would you support them? You have to do that the same way to ourselves. And when we are being kind and compassionate towards ourselves, then we have more headspace and to acknowledge that, oh, this is really difficult right now. Take a deep breath and push your feet on the floor and notice your fingers and notice 5 things that you can hear and see, and to practice some deep breathing, and so all sorts of different things that that works for you. You can even write it down on a piece of paper and to check in, and you can actually put that note on the fridge perhaps, to remind yourself that, be kind to yourself. This is difficult and everyone is going through the same thing right now. So ongoing reminders for yourself will be helpful.
Yeah, it's really well summed up. And the deep breathing thing's a good one. Even just one deep breath is effective. 3 deep breaths. You're just really filling your lungs, letting go of the tension. And the negative energy that might be going through your mind. And it's a quick reset. It's not perfect, but it's something that might help through the day. You can't overdose on deep breathing. It's a good thing.
It is.
and gratitude, the power of gratitude, and letting, sort of discussing with your family the things that are positive for you at the moment, what's working well, what's being good about the day, what makes you happy, you know. Yeah. Just remembering that there are good things that are going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you, Po. It's a really nice way to end.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me again on this sort of series about coronavirus and some of the things that families might be going through. And I hope we can chat again in the future.
Definitely, my pleasure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank
I really you so appreciate much. Your help. Yeah, really appreciate your help, Po. My next guest is Leon. Leon's an actor from Perth, Western Australia. He's appeared in multiple television commercials and miniseries, and I've known him for quite a long time. But most importantly, Leon is a father of two young children, 6 and 3, and I wanted to get a perspective from the parents. Thanks for joining me, Leon.
Thanks, Dr. Luke. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
No problem. Great to have you.
Thank you.
I was really interested in the parenting side of things, and it's all very well and good going and talking to some of the health professionals, but it doesn't really give us that insight into what it's like for parents on the inside during this COVID outbreak. And look, things are getting a little bit easier in some states, and that's really good. And I think we talk about the future today as well, but how have you been coping, Leon?
Well, I suppose, you know, isolation, it hasn't really changed us too much. We saw that COVID was getting worse and worse, and we sort of adjusted the isolation for ourselves first before it went full isolation. You know, we go for a lot more walks in the park. We potter about in the backyard and front yard, and we chat to the neighbors and we see them. Which is a lot more frequently now, but it's good, you know. I think, you know, the three-year-old, nothing's really changed for her. She doesn't, you know, understand too much about COVID-19, and she just understands that the schools are also the playgrounds are shut, and she's just happy with that. So she's just happy to scoot and ride around the park with her brother. You know, Jonah, on the other hand, he's 6, so it's a little bit been a little bit more dramatic. His schooling was affected for the last 2 weeks of term. Which I think he enjoyed because that just extended his holidays to, you know, 4 to 5 weeks anyway. But, you know, one of the things that really impacted him was he trains in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And so he trains 3 times a week, which is around 4 hours a week. So I think he really misses that physical and mental challenge. He misses his friends there. But, you know, he's sort of transitioned now to playing Fortnite. And so, you know, I'm trying to manage that screen time, which is a bit difficult, but, you know, sometimes I just really enjoy it and they just need that interaction, talking to other kids. So it's gone okay. I think for me, nothing much has changed. You know, I'm a bit of a homebody anyway, so I just work on my hobbies. And, you know, the isolation lets me potter around the house and look around at the stuff that I haven't fixed, which now I need to fix, and no more excuses.
Yeah, exactly. You've raised some really interesting points there. One is that technology is probably at an all-time high for some children, and I get that because it enables contact with others, and it enables a level of communication with other kids at a time that they might not be seeing their friends. It gives them a distraction, gives them something to do at home. How have you got around sort of setting time barriers on how long you let them use computers, iPads and things like that?
Well, that's really interesting. So what normally happens in our household is the kids, and it might be contradictory to a normal dinner time, but we find that it's just easier for the kids to watch something and eat at the same time, because then they'll shovel it in, or we'll shovel it in for them, and they're just eating. Normally without the screen, they're up and down, walking around the house. And so it's easier that way for us. Definitely with the isolation and the restrictions, it's all gone up in regards to time on iPad or TV. But I've just had to manage that in a way where, because I'm also working from home, so I just need to figure out, okay, I just need to put the kids on the iPads while I'm working for this 1 hour, 2 hours. And it's just hard, you know. I don't think you can really get it right. You've just got to manage it with your own time frames. However, saying this, I've taken iPad off Jonah, well, this week, well, starting this morning for the week. I've noticed that he's a little bit more tired, he's more lethargic, and I think it's just with the amount of just screen time he's had. So I'm going to get him to do more physical activity and see if he can get his energy levels back up. He eats pretty well, so I think it's just the iPad just, you know, it's just making the kids brain dead a little bit and changing how, it just changes their brain chemistry, I'm guessing, because they just seem a little bit more zombie-ish.
I think you've got to do what you've got to do. And in terms of some of the and thank you for being so honest. And I think in terms of some of the things you've done, I think you're probably reflecting what many, many other parents are doing at the moment. And it's trying to just get by and do things that make that work. And every child's different. Some children don't respond to that. I know my kids definitely eat a lot more vegetables when they're watching something because they're so distracted that they don't really understand that they're eating lots of vegetables.
Exactly.
So it's a great distraction. And so I think... and right now my daughter's watching Frozen 2 while we have this recording. You know, it's technology helps us to get by in a time when we might be balancing lots of activities. And as you said, working from home in particular is a big challenge for parents. And so do you have a home office at the moment, Leon?
Yep, I have a home office upstairs where it's fairly quiet, but, you know, the kids are just following me upstairs.
So. What do you end up doing?
Well, look, you know, there's a couch up here, and I've made sure they both have headphones so that the sound isn't going, and then they'll just sit there and watch their screen. With Jonah's talking interactions, sometimes I have to tell him to go downstairs if he wants to play a game and talk to his friends. There's no controlling my three-year-old. She'll just say anything at any point of time. So I've had interesting meetings where, you know, she comes up and asks for an Easter egg in the middle of a conversation. So, but the great thing is I think everyone's in this together. So we get it. All the business people get it on the other side. They've got kids as well. So they understand. So, I think it brings us together a little bit as a community and as a business community, I guess, to understand that, you know what, things aren't normal at this point of time, or this is the new normal. And, you know, we just have to keep moving forward with that.
Yeah. And it makes for an entertaining Zoom meeting, having kids floating around.
Exactly.
I've been in a meeting with someone with a cat on their head and kids in the background waving. And it definitely is something we're all going to get used to, I think. But, two sort of sided question, this next one. Mm-hmm. What do you think has been the greatest challenge of having a young family at home in a bit more isolation, having a lot more time on your hands at home, not being as busy? What's been the greatest challenge of this whole sort of period?
Oh, I think it's just the extended amount of time that we have with the kids and the need to keep stimulating them mentally. That's the challenge. In saying that, I think there's something in it to being bored, because when they're bored and you know, it is painful, they'll whinge and they'll roll around the floor and they'll hang off you. But after a while, they'll realize that, you know, nothing's going to happen and they've got to take it onto themselves to figure something out. And that's when the most important lesson of imagination kicks in. And if you can get through those little, you know, an hour or two where they're just whinging, then all of a sudden they just go off and play by themselves. And then they're using their imagination. So, you know, that's the best, the big challenge is that's just that whinging. But there is a light at that end of the tunnel. And if you take away those screens and they know they're not going to get the screens and they know that you're not going to do anything for them, but they've got to help themselves, you'll have hours of silence as they potter about, you know, doing tea parties and playing with their soldiers or whatever it is. So that's one of the massive, well, I guess, biggest challenges that I've faced. Other than
that's
that,
almost, yeah. That's almost a good thing that but it's boredom is a really useful thing for children to learn about, and it's like a word that my kids seem to know very well. I'm bored. But we need to use that with them and work with them and say, look, boredom is good. You know, this is a really good time for you to learn something new or to play with all those toys you've accumulated. Why don't you come up with something, an activity for yourself, and try and find something to do? And I always get sort of eyes rolling for my 6-year-old when I say these sorts of things. But I think in the long term, it's a benefit. What do you think has been the best outcome of all this? Do you think there's been something specific that's been rewarding about having more time at home?
I guess the benefit is actually that active playtime that you have with the kids. And it's really the forced need now for the parents as well as the kids to use their imagination, because, you know, as parents, we don't really use our imagination as much because we're really in the work world. But now when we sit down and we have that time and we're forced to make that time, then we start, you know, getting those creative juices going, showing the kids that we can be creative as well. You know, I think that creativity and imagination have disappeared for quite a while, mainly because of all the iPads and TV, where they'll throw a picture in front of you and that's your imagination gone, instead of, you know, having that in your head and imagining it yourself. So, you know, that's a huge benefit. And I think this creativity is priceless. It will benefit the kids constantly as they learn and they grow. Yeah, and I guess, you know, another benefit is really getting to know our neighbours much better. You know, we're all having chats out the front yard, having a chat to each other. The sense of community is great. You know, everybody's talking to each other and sort of supporting each other in any way.
We're seeking out that social contact, and the best way to do that is to talking to the people in the same street as you.
Oh, exactly.
And then, as we said, online and using and those sorts of services to contact family members that you might not be able to see. So as humans, I think we seek out that other human contact. It's a really important part of this, and not letting yourself become too isolated. With sort of finishing, I wanted to know the way out of this. You know, we're heading to some sort of relief with the system now, but it's a journey and no one really knows what's going to happen next. But how do you feel about the kids going back to school, and how do you find they're going with that return to school?
I think it's a good thing that they're going back to school. Jonah's gone back to school. I think from his class of 22, there's 11 there, so it's halved still. And that's, you know, every parent's choice. I think it's good for them to get out of the house and learn and interact with other kids still. Our school's very good. You know, the government's put down a lot of policies and strict guidelines to how you pick kids up and you drop them off, and I feel fairly safe. WA, we're quite an isolated city, so, you know, I even feel even more safer than, you know, being in the East Coast there. But moving forward, I think that, you know, everything's, you know, softly, gently, the kids will start getting back into it. As adults, you know, I really like working from home, so I prefer to stay at home.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for the kids, I think trying to get back to that normality or the new normal, I still like the 1 meter distancing rule or 1.5 meter distancing rule. You know, I don't think that will stay for long, but, you know, I think people will just understand that, you know, there is a distance between everybody nowadays.
Think that might be where we end up, is getting back to a bit of normality, but having the social distancing in place for an extended period of time. And I think we can cope with that now. We've got used to that. When we first had it, it was a bit of a shock and we felt like, oh, my goodness, we're not going to be able to see or talk to anyone ever again. But it's starting to now be something we just do by habit. And I think as a result of that, we've lowered the rate of infection in general in this early stage of winter. So flu season at an all-time low, and it's working quite well in our favor. So, you know, if that's the last thing that stands, that's reasonable, I think. And returning to school is a challenge, and I know there's lots of parents that are finding this a really difficult thing. So some kids have more of an anxiety coming out of this and heading back to school, and that bit of separation anxiety. So as you said, softly, just go easy, and even just start small and build it up, and, you know, do work with your teachers and see how things go, and you know, expect anything. Just be patient with it. It may work really well, or it might be a challenge, but there's going to be support for you if it is difficult, through the schools and through medical if you need to come to see a GP, for example. Mm. Yeah, do you have any final things you'd like to say about this whole thing?
Well, you know, I had a real think about, you know, this whole environment that we're in, and I think, you know, this is the reset that all of us have really needed. I think, you know, we've been busy working, and, you know, we've been working for 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, depending how young you are, and, you know, you just get caught up. But this reset, you know, all the noise from the daily commute's gone, you know, community and family coming closer together really gives you that time to really understand what's truly important. And I think we've found these getting closer. It's only a good thing. You know, we've got, I don't know, probably another 2-3 weeks, a month worth of restrictions going on for us. And, you know, instead of binging on Netflix or finding computer games, you know, find a new skill. Teach your kids that, you know, learning is fun. Build your own new skill set. Just do something which is going to build you as a person rather than, you know, the same, you know, wake up, kids to school, go to work, come back. You know, you just got to change it up. And I think that's what is really special about this point of time.
I don't think I could have said that better myself, Leon. Thank you for joining me today. And I hope to catch up with you again soon.
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kids Health Network. Be sure to keep an eye on our Facebook page for updates